Here we are again, and it's the news, according to me. Well, I'm trying to be as quiet as possible here. I'm in a particular place that the walls are like paper thin, and I have to be careful what I say because I don't know who's in the rooms next to me. Could be some radicals. You never know. Most importantly, I left my cup over there on the other table, and I have to go over there and get it, which is going to require me to get away from the microphone here a little bit. I have to go clear over here, way outside probably the realm of this microphone picking me up very well. And don't worry, I'm back. Don't worry. I hope you were okay without me being right there with the microphone for a second. I'm back. Get my hot chocolate here with. I'm trying something different today. I'm trying a little hazelnut mixed with French vanilla creamer. That was my first taste of it right there. Didn't really get much of a sip there. It's got one of those sippy cup things on top of it. But it's pretty good. It's okay. It's all right. That's it. It's not very hot. It's hotel. It's hotel hot chocolate. So that's what I got. I'm in a hotel again. And in case you didn't notice, for those of you who don't care, for those of you who do, those are the ones I'm talking to. The show didn't happen last night. Got in kind of late, and then by the time I had some supper, got back, and I was just exhausted. So just didn't do a show last night. So today's show, it's the morning show, will be twice the fun and twice the content in the same amount of time. So I'm going to talk a lot faster. I'm just going to talk really fast as I do the dual thing. I'm going to talk really fast like this. Maybe not. Yeah, so I am in a hotel, and I woke up this morning about 4 o'clock in the morning, and the room next to me was playing some kind of music on their phone, apparently. They weren't playing it loud, but I could hear it. It would sound like it was in my room. I thought my phone had started playing music for some reason. And then alarms started going off. And they have an iPhone with the same alarms on it that mine does. And it started thinking, what was my phone? It must not. Where's my phone? My phone was right there and it wasn't going off. And then I heard people coughing and hacking and doing all the normal, morning sounds that are so pleasant in the morning. And realized that it's the room next to mine that was making all the noise. And then the room in the other room next to mine, apparently that person got up as well at some point within the next hour. And so, needless to say, I was able to put on some YouTube and listen to some boring people that put me to sleep. Most of them with advertisements. So, a lot of them have, even some of the good news programs that I listen to. If they go into one of those little things where they want to sell gold or sell collagen or something, I don't know, they're selling stuff. They start in with those, and of course, within a minute, I'm asleep because I just rather than skip forward, if I can get my little finger to make the video skip forward to the right place, I can skip past those. But I just fell asleep. I had to re-listen to the video because it was something I wanted to hear. Needless to say, I'm actually in Appleton, Wisconsin today, and I would really like to, I noticed that there's one fellow who does not appear on my YouTube feed anymore. That's Open Source News, which is Black Conservative Patriot, BCP. He lives in Appleton, and I had actually kind of planned to possibly meet up with him, maybe buy him breakfast or something here in Appleton, but I didn't plan that far ahead. Didn't think about it till this morning. That would have been a good idea, but I haven't seen him on my feed lately, and so I wasn't thinking about the whole thing. So probably missed out on an opportunity there. I know he does a lot of traveling, so he may not even be in town right now, but and I've never spoken with him at all. Other than, made comments on his videos, I haven't done any kind of actual personal contact with him. But thought it might be kind of fun to, have breakfast or lunch or something with the guy. But I'm going to be gone here before lunch, so. The woes of life. So tonight I will be someplace else. Right now I'm in Wisconsin, and tomorrow I'll be in Michigan. And then the next day, well, actually tonight I'll be in Michigan. Sorry, take that back. I'll be there overnight, and then tomorrow I will go home to Indiana, back to Indiana, where the skies are not cloudy all day. Maybe they are cloudy all day. I think it's the other way around. Yeah, they got to be cloudy somewhere. The reason it's cloudy there a lot is because it rains a lot, and rain is a good thing because rain, that makes things green. People complain about the rain. They like the weather out in Arizona because it's a desert, and apparently they like living in a desert where nothing grows. You have to dig a 300-foot well to get water, and then So lots of stuff going on. The Maricopa County audit thing keeps plugging along, and they are fighting tooth and nail now. They've run into an interesting little glitch. We're calling it a glitch. Apparently, there was a subpoena, or there was going to be a subpoena issued if the county didn't turn over the routers. I don't know if they've turned them over yet or not. I believe they have. I'm not positive that has happened. I think that's in process. Basically, the judge ordered. He said that they will subpoena them if they don't do it. So it's going to happen because they can do that under force of law. They can actually have law enforcement show up and take the routers, which would be an interesting turn of events. However, the machines, the voting machines, the actual tabulators. Now, these aren't the machines that the people go in and push on, the buttons and stuff. These are the tabulators that actually count the votes. Those machines, they've turned over all of the passwords that they have. Now, understand, Maricopa County owns those tabulators. They own the machines, or they lease them, or however it is. I think they own them. And they have passwords, of course, that they can put in, and they can get into certain parts of the machine. However, there are other passwords that are required to get into other parts of the machine, the background software parts of the machine, to actually do the work they need to do to audit this thing. And because there's all kinds of records in there, data transfers, all the kind of stuff, that anything that happened with that machine, there's like a log entry. And they can't get in there because they don't have the passwords. So they filed suit again. They went to the judge again and said they didn't get all the passwords. Well, then the county's saying, well, we have all the passwords we've ever had. That's all the passwords we have of this thing. Come to find out, the Dominion or systematic, whatever it is. Either the software company or the Dominion company that works with them, they claim that they're not related. Well, we're not related at all, but their software is proprietary on their hardware. It's you can't operate one without the other. Now, there are some other software programs out there, I guess, you can operate on the machine, but it's a bogus lie. So you can only operate with them if Dominion gives you the permission to do so, because they have the key, they have the password to actually get in to adjust the firmware. So they will install the firmware for you. So what that amounts to. Now, so this situation is they are now discovering that Dominion has a. The person who was equating it on the news said that this is like leasing a car or buying a car, and you don't get to keep the keys. Somebody else has to show up to actually run the thing, start it up for you. which is basically what, you know, if you want to do any maintenance on it, you have to have somebody else, you know, you can't do your own maintenance. You have to have somebody else do that. You don't own the thing at all. Or it's sort of like buying property and then having to pay property tax, or you get it taken away because it really isn't yours. You're paying state, you're just paying rent to the state for you to own that property, to call it your own. That's what property tax is. It's a tax on wealth. It's a tax on property. You're supposed to be secure in your property without due process. Well, they call, you know, legislation due process. That's not due process. The court of law is due process. And property taxes are immoral, in my opinion. When a person can work all their life, pay off their house, and then they retire, then all of a sudden that they can't afford the house payment, or they can't afford the property. If they've got the house paid off, but they can't afford the property tax anymore because property taxes continue to go up because, you know, inflation. We talked about that yesterday. And in the process of that, you lose your home because you can't afford to pay your property taxes. There are some places in the country that the property taxes have gone up so much that the property value has gone down because of property taxes. Because people are moving out because the property taxes are too high. This has happened several times in the nation's history, mostly on the west, on the East Coast, sometimes on the West Coast. There's been places along some of the upper echelon properties there on the East Coast that have had this problem. And they've had to reduce property taxes because of the fact that people were defaulting on their homes and just leaving, abandoning them. Of course, then the bank picks it up, and the bank somehow gets exempt from paying for the property taxes. They can pass it on to the next person who purchases the home. I don't understand that, but that's the way that works a lot of times. So, I digress. Some interesting things have happened with this pipeline shutdown, and I haven't looked into it any further than just to know that it was a cyber attack of some sort that they're calling it. There's some people out there who are saying that there's been a little known secret about this whole thing the whole time. I wasn't aware that there was this pipeline that went from Texas all the way up to New York, and it feeds off into several other states. And apparently, they just pump fuel all the time, gasoline, I guess, and they pump this fuel to various places where they have big tanks that hold the fuel, holding tanks. And the way that fuel gets there is by pipeline. And then those holding tanks kind of provide a buffer so that if there is a shutdown for some reason, there's still fuel there. Now, they're claiming that if this continues to be a problem, if this stays shut down, that they may actually end up having to, some of the places are going to go dry, basically. They're going to run out of fuel. The interesting thing about this is that we have, I'm amazed, I guess, that we don't have a manual method of making this pipeline work, that there's no manual backup for this thing, which is a bit troubling, because what if we really were under a major attack? I mean, and this could just be a test run kind of thing. So we shut down the pipeline. You know, this is, I'm just thinking like the enemy here. We shut down the pipeline. We wait for the reserves to go down. Now, I assume on the refinery end, we got fuel backing up. And it can only be pumped so fast. And then, you have these issues of, fuel prices going up now because fuel is, scarce in demand. It causes all kinds of supply chain issues. We talked about that yesterday as well. I guess they're talking about chicken shortages now, different kinds of meat shortages, beef, chicken, other food supply chain issues. This, coupled with the fact that we're paying people to stay home and they're not showing up for work, and Biden has some kind of spin on this, saying that their analysis doesn't show that, that people aren't showing up for work because they don't, they can't get, no, it's a real simple equation here, Joe. When you've got people out there begging for workers, and you have unemployment at a rampant rate, in other words, a lot of people out there looking for work, well, they should be looking for work, don't go to work because they can make 30 grand a month or 30 grand a year not working. Or you can make 30 grand a year and go to work, or 35 grand, or even 40 grand. You know, if you have to pay for childcare, you have to pay for anything else, car, you know, transportation, whatever it is. I would, if I had to choose between sitting at home making 30 grand or going to work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week or more, and making, you know, 40 grand, I would probably choose the 30 grand. I got a lot of stuff I can do at home. Other things I can do to actually make better money anyway, but so it's kind of a, and then they turn around and claim that that's not what's happening. Our analysis doesn't say that that's happening. Really? Okay. We're supposed to believe that now somehow. And yet they turn around and basically say, well, the program's going to change. Well, you can't just change it. This is legislation. They have to put this through the House and the Senate again if they're going to change the legislation at all. Now, the thing about it is, the ability to change the legislation is actually not as easy as you might think. But what Joe is saying that they want to do is they want to change it so that if you are offered a job, you know, a reasonable job, if you're offered a reasonable job, here we go with all these gray area stuff again. Who's going to say what's reasonable and what's not? If you're offered a reasonable job and you turn it down, you will be denied benefits now. So here we go with social engineering, making you work a job that possibly you don't want. I mean, it's just a matter of time that you can see where this can go. Where they will have a list of jobs to put you in. Now, the federal government's going to step in with some kind of program where they can assign you a job. And if you don't take it, you lose your benefits. Now, most people, right now, they're saying that if you go out and apply for jobs, so all you have to do is go out and apply for jobs that stink. You know, jobs that don't pay anything, that aren't comparable, whatever it is. I'm not sure how unemployment works in some states. I don't know that you have to continue to go out and look for work or have to keep applying. I'm not sure how that works. Some places you have to keep applying for jobs before you can get out, before they'll in order to keep your benefits. I know it was that way in Indiana for a while. I'm not sure if it's still that way or not. But you had to show that you had tried to apply for at least two or three jobs. And of course, people would just go out and apply for jobs that they weren't unqualified for. So that way, there was no chance they could get a job. However, this government program does not allow for that. You just get your extra money for being on unemployment. So, it's a very ridiculously crazy thing. What it is, but that's where we're going with that. So, again, the economy, I don't mean to be an alarmist, and I really don't want to be, but I want to be a realist about this. We have an administration that cannot admit they've done anything wrong. Everything that they do is perfectly possible, you know, perfectly reasonable and perfect, and what they do is correct. The border, for instance, they have messed that up epically. And all we hear is, well, it's not a crisis, it's a challenge. No, the word crafting only goes so far. People's lives are affected and they don't care because all they care about is the political optics of the whole thing. The unemployment situation is terrible. Unemployment went up. They were expecting to add 1 million jobs. They only added 260,000. That's a fourth of what they expected. How can they be so feckless? So unaware? It just blows my mind. And And yet they continue to say, we're not, you know, this is not a, you know, this is not a problem, not a problem, no problem here, nothing to see here, move along. And the media gives them a pass, which doesn't help anybody. You know, the media is supposed to be there to, oh, we're part of it. The media in recent years has acted like they're a fourth branch of government. They really do believe they are. They see themselves that way, and academia teaches them. When they go through college, they are taught that. That they are a powerful wing of the governmental structure because there is mention of them in the Constitution, freedom of the press. They take that and they build all kinds of weird precepts off of that. It's ridiculous. I'm almost out of hot chocolate here. I don't know what I'm going to do. So in academia, they learn these things, and they think that they're basically, you know, like when Trump tried to oust Jim Acosta because he was being rude, he was disruptive. His level of decorum and professionalism at the White House press briefings was absolutely hideous, disrespectful. And he acted like he was trying to call the president out and call out, you know, call him on the carpet for certain things. And that's not what he was doing at all. It was grandstanding and showboating and just ridiculous. Oh, but he's, you know, he's the pit bull. He's the watchdog. And he's still after Trump. Now Trump, now that Trump's not in the media, not in the news anymore, they have to make him the story. They still have to insert him in there, which I think is pathetic on their part that they can't get any ratings without him, and yet they didn't want him there. But they, you know, he was the reason for their ratings. Yeah. Let's see if we can find some things here. Parler is apparently back online, by the way. I was able to get back online with that. And if, you know, if you look up from the desk of Donald Trump. Oh, there is a, what's this here? No, thank you. I don't want that. May 10th. Here we go. We have some updates. So since there wasn't much from May 5th. On. Oh, we got some here now. May 6th. Yeah, we got some more here. May 6th. The fake news media, working in close conjunction with big tech and the radical left Democrats, is doing everything they can to perpetuate the term the big lie when speaking of 2020 presidential election fraud. They are right in that the 2020 election, presidential election was a big lie, but not in the way they mean. The 2020 election, which didn't even have legislative approvals from many states, which is required under the U.S. Constitution, and was also otherwise corrupt, was indeed the big lie. So when they try to sell the American people to the term the big lie, which they do in unison and coordination, think of it instead as the greatest fraud in history of our country. An even greater hoax than Russia, 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 Mueller, 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 impeachment hoax one, impeachment hoax two, or any of the other many scams the Democrats pulled. That was on May 6th, May 7th, from the desk of Donald Trump. The Federal Election Commission in Washington, D.C. has totally dropped the phony case against me concerning payments to women relative to the 2016 presidential election. It was a case built on lies from Michael Cohen, a corrupt and convicted lawyer, a lawyer, in fact, who was so corrupt he was sentenced to 3 years in jail for lying to Congress and many other things have nothing to do with me. That have nothing to do with me. I thank the commission for their decision, ending this chapter of fake news. Between two sleazebag lawyers, Michael Avenatti and Michael Cohen, we were all able to witness law and justice in our country at its lowest. Interestingly, this is me now. That was on May 7th. Interestingly enough, in this whole process, this has not come out in the news at all. Now, Michael Cohen was a contributor to CNN and MSNBC. He was their buddy because he had the dirt. You know, he supposedly had the dirt on, and he's what he says is reported on by all the left wing knuckleheads. They are very quick. They're very quick to quote him when he starts saying things. They'll interview him on the night shows and stuff, all that stuff. Again, on May 7th, a little later in the day, at 6:31 in the morning on November 4th, a dump of 149,772 votes came into the state of Michigan. Biden received 96% of those votes, and the state miraculously went to him. Has the Michigan State Senate started their review of the fraudulent presidential election of 2020 yet, or are they about to start? If not, they should be run out of office. Likewise, at 3:42 in the morning, a dump of 143,379 votes came into the state of Wisconsin. Now, keep in mind that there's a time difference of 1 hour. So it was actually, you know, it would have been 4:42 Eastern time, which was just about an hour and a half after the Michigan deal. A dump of 144,379 votes came in the state of Wisconsin, also miraculously given to Biden. Where did these votes come from? Both were state election changing events. And that is on top of other corruption, without even including the fact that neither state got legislative approval, which is required under the United States Constitution. Well, he's correct in all this stuff. Josh Hawley, our fantastic senator from the beautiful and great state of Missouri, has a fantastic new book just out this week. This is also on May 7th, by the way, about the terrible big tech companies and their attempt to ruin our country. It's called The Tyranny of Big Tech. It has my full and complete endorsement. Buy it now, according to Donald Trump, says Donald Trump on May 7th. Now, Josh Hawley, I do appreciate Josh Hawley. However, Josh Hawley is a politician. I only trust him as far as I can see him. I'm not all in on him yet. People who come out with books on this stuff overnight. I'm trying to write a book, and I've been trying for several years. It doesn't just happen unless you get a ghostwriter. You have to have somebody else writing the book for you, basically. And it takes a lot of effort. A lot of effort. And it takes a team of people. So I don't know if he got a book deal. I know he's kind of been on the circuit promoting it. People have been promoting it, and here he has now Donald Trump promoting it as well. That will probably sell a million copies right there. I don't know. Who knows? I can hear the cleaning lady in the room next door. It sounds like she's in my room. I hear things banging around over there. It's ridiculous. You can probably hear it on the microphone even. Happy Mother's Day to all. It will all come back bigger and better and stronger than ever before. Do not worry. This is according to Donald John Trump on May 9th. Again on May 9th. So now even our Kentucky Derby winner, Medina Spirit, is a junkie. This is emblematic of what is happening to our country. The whole world is laughing at us as we go to hell on our borders, our fake presidential election, and everywhere else. Okay, well, that's, yeah. Again, May 10th, the House GOP has a massive opportunity to upgrade this week from warmongering Liz Cheney to gifted communicator Elise Stefanik. I'm not sure what I think about Elise. Elise has intelligence and endorsement from the American Patriot Brandon Judd and the National Border Patrol Council. She has an A-plus rating from the NRA, and she loves our veterans. We need someone in leadership who has experience flipping districts from blue to red as we approach the important 2022 midterms, and that's Elise. She knows how to win, which is what we need. Now, from what I have seen and gathered from her, I'm hopeful Certainly much better than Liz Cheney. But again, I can't, you know, the verdict's out on all these people. There's very few politicians that I will draw conclusions on, unless they're, yeah, even the ones that I agree with most of the time, I would still say I have to hold them all with a grain of salt. The Lieutenant Governor, this is on May 10th again, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick is a great fighter for the people of Texas. He has stood up He has stood up for life, liberty, the Second Amendment, border security, our military, and our vets, and our God-given freedoms. He is governed by conservative principles of low taxes and careful spending, always doing what is best for his great state and for the America. And for America. Sorry. Texas should re-elect him. He's outstanding and has my complete and total endorsement. So there you go. That's some things from the desk of Donald John Trump. So we have, so get that going for us. Now, again, I don't know where this is going to go. His platform right now is really just a blog. And he's just typing out things that, here's another one. How did I miss this one? Yeah, there's two more here. So I'll read these as well. We've got time. This is on May 10th as well. After being loudly booed at the Utah Republican Party convention, Utah's Weber County censured Rhino Mitt Romney in the strongest of terms. Washington County Republicans also censured Romney in April. He is bad news for our county. Our country, sorry. So Weber County and Washington County have censured him. Now, I'm not sure what censorship does to somebody. Does that mean they're not allowed to speak in that state? Does that mean anything that they say shouldn't be listened to? I don't know what that means. I don't even know what it means. So, whatever that means. The major Michigan election fraud case, this is also on May 10th, last night, has just filed a bombshell pleading, claiming votes were intentionally switched from President Trump to Joe Biden. The number of votes is massive and determinative. This will prove true in numerous other states. All Republicans must unify and not let this happen. If a thief robs a jewelry store of all of its diamonds, the 2020 presidential election, the diamonds must be returned. The fake news media refuses to cover the greatest election fraud in the history of our country. They have lost all credibility, but ultimately they will have no choice. Now he makes it kind of sound here as if he thinks that the election could be overturned. It is possible that this could happen. Now, the possibility of this is about as much chance as you can get COVID outside. And they've determined now that it's as low. Contracting COVID outside is about as low possibly as 0.1% chance of and they say that it's even among COVID carriers, it's 1% or less. The highest possibility is 1%. So if you were to run around with 100 people, I don't know, you know, came into contact with 100 people outside who were, some of them were, I guess that's where it is. Oh, I hear my bumper music already. So we got that going for us. But once again, folks, I'll try to do it. Actually, we'll be able to do a show this evening because I get in a little bit earlier. I don't have such a big day. So we should be able to get this done. But once again, thanks for being listeners, subscribers, sharers. And appreciate all of you. Hopefully you have a great day. God bless. And we'll talk to you. tonight, I hope. See you later.